Today I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 10. And this is the last thing that happens before Jesus arrives to Jerusalem on his last week. So this happens what I assume to be the Saturday before he moves into Jerusalem. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46 and reading through the end of the chapter. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. A miracle. A miracle happens for this man. It's quite interesting. In the midst of a course of unanswered prayer, we're going to study today a time when prayer was answered immediately. Because sometimes it happens that way. And sometimes it never gets answered. And I can imagine each and every one of you has prayers that have never been answered the way you want them to be answered. That's why we're looking a little bit deeper in that on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. But something that I want to notice here is that when this man knew that Jesus was somewhere near, he cried out. You see, there are times that we must cry out when we feel that God is near. We must. We must cry out. We must let our hearts just pour out. Through my years of ministry, I have met people that don't pray. And I remember talking with one individual, and he told me, he said, "I don't pray." And he said, "Well," and I said, "Why not?" And he told me, he said, "God is so busy with so many other things, he's not concerned about what little thing I need to pray about." And I thought about how much you're missing out. How much you're missing out by not letting your heart cry out. And all of us have those things in our hearts that we want to cry out about. And some of those things that we want to cry out about, we don't. One, because we don't want other people to hear us. We don't want other people to know that that's a need or a concern or a want in our lives. Folks, when we know that God is near, which, by the way, in case you didn't know this fact, I'm going to share with you a secret. God is always near. Always. And when God is near, we need to cry out. We don't need to worry about what other people hear. We need to cry out and we need to let God know what's going on in our hearts. We just need to open up and do it. I know sometimes that because of a sensitive situation, we don't want to tell other people that there's a prayer concern, because I've been in many places where I've heard people say there's a silent concern. And I can understand that. But when God is near, why would you not mention it to God? Why would you not speak up and say it? Sometimes we don't want to speak up and say it because we're afraid that we'll make ourselves vulnerable and that other people will use that against us. We're afraid of that. I've been through that. Been through that for many years. And I told you, it took me 8 years or so to be able to speak up and say that my brain don't work right. I know some of you are going, we've known that longer than you have, Pastor. But my brain doesn't always work right. I have a chemical imbalance. I take medication because of it. I've prayed about it and I've stopped praying about it. Now I've gone back to praying about it. Lord, heal me. Why would I not speak up to God about my concern? Well, in our society, if somebody says that they have a mental illness, which is what I have, we often use that against people. And we often shame them because of that. And we push them off to the side. We don't know how to interact with them. We don't know how to talk with them. This man sitting by the roadside, and he's just crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He doesn't say a specific concern at that point in time, but he's crying out. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we cry out when we have a concern? Why shouldn't we let other people know? I've already kind of said, we don't want to be vulnerable. We're too proud to say anything. We're afraid that somebody will use that fact against us. So we don't speak up and we don't cry out. When others tell us to be quiet, we should still cry out. If it's a concern that I have, if it's something that I need from God, I still need to cry out, don't I? When others say, hey, not so loud. I mean, that's what they were doing to this man. He couldn't see Jesus, but he knew that Jesus was there, and he's just crying out. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Probably one of the best prayers that you can ever pray. Just sit down and say, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. And you can almost do it in rhythm with your breath. As you breathe in, Jesus, Son of God, as you breathe out, have mercy on me. A deep cry of the heart. And people were telling this man, be quiet, don't talk, silence. I'm sure there wasn't silence going on, but nobody wanted to hear him cry out. But what does Jesus do? Jesus stops and says, call him. Call him. Was it three times in that verse 49? Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Three times in that verse, that word calling is used once by Jesus and twice by the people. call. He kept calling out. He kept speaking. He kept, and they said, cheer up. Jesus has stopped to talk just to you. And you see, people wanted him to be quiet. And in the midst of all of that was going on, because it says as they were leaving town, do you think that Jesus, the disciples, the people that were following along behind him, hoping for something good, and the rest of the people of town, do you think they were leaving town in silence? Let's see how long I can be silent and you can be silent. I bet not long before somebody makes some noise. And he's calling out still. There's not silence going on. He's calling out, and I'm sure he's getting louder. Please, Jesus, don't pass by me without having mercy on me. Please, Jesus, I need something. Don't move on without helping me. One voice in the midst of all that's going on, and Jesus hears him. Sometimes there's a lot of noise going on in our lives, isn't there? Sometimes we just need to let our hearts call out, asking for God's help. In the midst of all the noise that's happening around us. Was it 2 weekends ago? We had a Saturday with a house full. There was a lot of noise going on. Amen, brother? There was a lot of noise. Between Zach's 2 kids, my 4 grandkids, and 11 other adults, there was a lot of noise going on. For those of you that don't know, we celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving, jokingly. That's the weekend of Canadian Thanksgiving, but that's when we have all our family in so that the kids and grandkids can go to the other side of the family on Thanksgiving Day. Plus, we don't have to worry about them getting here with weather problems if we do it in October instead of November. But there was a lot of noise going on, and it was hard to hear any one person. I can only imagine that's the kind of noise that was going on while this guy was crying out. I'm sure there are people jostling around Jesus, just trying to touch him, just trying to talk to him. Others who had prayers and concerns and said, please stop, sir, and help me. And Jesus says, call him. Call him. Tell him to come here. That one. You see, we should also listen deeply to see if God's calling back. Because in this case, God was calling back and asking Bartimaeus to step forward. When we're crying out to God in prayer about a concern, about an issue, about a problem, about whatever's going on in our lives, we need to stop sometimes and listen. What is God saying while we're crying out? What is it that some of our grandmothers taught us? We have 2 ears and 1 mouth because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk. Did your grandmother ever tell you that? You know what? We need to listen to what God's saying. When we cry out, we need to stop and listen. We need to cry out, stop and listen. Is God calling back? Is God saying something at this moment? Starting in January, we're going to study a book called Discerning God's Will Together as a Community. And we're going to go through a process of how do we discern what God's saying to us? How do we listen? How do we hear God better as a community? Not as individuals, as a community. I'll just give you a little seed. One of the underlying facts of discerning God's will as a community is you have to realize you don't have it right. You got a piece of it, but you may not have the whole thing right. And you've got to listen to what God's saying to other people too to get the right thing. Just planting a seed. That's what we're going to look at starting in January. See, we got to stop. We got to slow down. That's one of the reasons I love contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer bears a soul to God and then just stops. And some of you would say, sits and does nothing. A lady at my previous church told people that I was the best person that she had ever met that could sit and do nothing. And she meant it in a positive way, but that's not how it got received, and everybody laughed at the moment. But sometimes you got to sit still and listen. Suppose Bartimaeus had kept crying out and kept calling out and kept, "Son of David, have mercy on me, son," and never heard anybody say to him, "Come here. He's calling you." We got to cry out. But I want to suggest we need to pause at times too and listen. Because God may be saying to us, step closer. You see, we respond to God by moving closer, leaving things behind, and answering simply. That's what this Bartimaeus did, didn't he? It says that when he understood that Jesus was calling him, he jumped right up and went to Jesus. He had to move. He had to do something. Not be a bump on the log and wait for God to answer things. He had to get up and move. The implication of the whole story is whatever he had right there in front of him, he left. Now, I want you to think about this, and I know some of you might say, well, he went back and picked up his stuff. You've got a great crowd. In front of him, he's probably got his cloak laying on the ground in front of him where he sits for people to pitch coins on so that he can get some subsistence. That was the only way he could get that. And he gets up and leaves that to go to Jesus. What do you think happened to those coins? Do you think everybody in that crowd said, "Hey, leave him there. He's coming back. He's a blind man. Have pity on him." I'm sorry. I don't think everybody did that. I think as soon as he got up and walked away, those coins disappeared. Well, not really disappeared. They got picked up, don't you think? There was no coins to go back to pick up. His cloak might have been there. But the coins weren't. I think they were gone. Was he concerned about that? You see, he had to get up and move to Jesus. And sometimes we need to get up and move closer to God. Not expecting God to come where we are, but we need to get up and move closer. We need to step right into God's presence deeper than you've ever stepped before. Which means you're probably going to have to leave some things behind. Because oftentimes we sit in one place because we got all our stuff organized around us. Right? We got it all organized right where we want it, right where we need it, right where nobody else can get their hands on it. Sometimes we've got to leave things behind. And if we don't leave them behind, we may not get the answer that God has for us at all if we don't leave them behind. And the last thing, Jesus just plainly asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And what happens? The man just answers as simply as possible. He says, "Rabbi, I want to see again," which means this guy was able to see at one point. Doesn't mean he was born blind. He was able to see. He says, "I want to see again. That's all I want. I don't want riches. I don't want a big house. I don't want it. I just want to be able to see again." That's it. Can we sometimes answer God that simply? Can we get right down to the root cause of what we're really looking for? Instead of staying on the surface, I've told you about this. People come to talk to me counseling-wise, and almost always they talk to me about things that are on the surface when I first meet them. That's not what they really want. Number one, they want to find out, can I be quiet and not say anything to anybody else? Before they tell me what the real issue is. Plus, they want to see how well can you handle these things that really kind of don't matter before I tell you what really does matter. And you see, when God calls out to us and we move to God, we just need to get right to the root of it and say, this is it. And be real with it. Not play around. And say, well, I kind of want this, I kind of want that. I got to get right to it. And answer God simply, this is what I want. And Jesus says to him, what? Your faith, your willingness to believe that I can do this makes you well. I want you to notice one thing. Jesus never touches the man. Never. Now, if you go back to, I think it's chapter 8, Jesus only half heals a man and then has to touch him a second time to heal him completely. Whoa, what? He touched him, a blind man, and Jesus said, can you see? He said, well, I can kind of see something. Everybody kind of looks like trees that are walking around. And Jesus touched him a second time so he could fully heal. You mean there's not just one way for God to answer prayers? Do you mean to tell me there's not just one way for things to happen? I heard somebody say one time, what if there were different churches that started for the different ways that Jesus healed blind people and mute people? And they said, this is the formula for how you get healed. And this is what our church believes. This is how it happens. He has to touch you once and then touch you a second time so you can be fully healed. And we got another church over here that says, Jesus never needs to touch you and you get healed but just by asking. Now, isn't that silly to think about? There's not one way. In this case, Jesus never touches the man and he's healed. He just says, you believe deep enough that I can do this, so it's done. That's it. You know, if we're willing to move closer to God, if we're willing to leave some things behind, if we're willing to answer God's questions just simply, wholeness of life will be the end result if we will respond. Wholeness of life. The Hebrew word shalom, which gets translated peace, but it really means a wholeness of life is what it means. It doesn't mean just absence of conflict. It means a wholeness, a peace, an understanding that this is what God has for you. But folks, you've got to call out. You've got to move closer. You've got to leave some things behind. And you just got to answer simply when God said something. Just simply. As I'm thinking about that last piece, I remember this when I was working in the shipyard as a quality insurance inspector. Every month we turned in a travel claim. And we were told to turn it in every month or when it reached $25. Either way. And one gentleman had turned his in the middle of the month. And in came the boss with it, holding it in his hand. And said, "William, I need to talk to you." And William saw what he had in his hand. And William started out with this. "Well, you told us to turn it in when it reached $25. And he said, "Well, yeah, but, you know, so mine's reached $25 and I've turned it in. And that way I've done what you said to do." "Well, yeah." And this went on for about 5 minutes this way. And finally the boss said, "I brought it in to you because I want to show you, you put the wrong date on it." How many times do we run to God with this big explanation about a whole thing instead of just coming and saying, "God, this is what I need. This is what, just simply, this is what I need. I need the fog to clear. I need whatever it might be." Just simply, when God asks, don't go into great detail, because I know what you're going to tell me anyway. Do you know what you're going to tell me? Some of you are looking at me rather quizzical. But you're going to tell me that God already knows the whole details and the whole situation anyway. So why do we need to come and explain the whole thing to God and how to fix it? Just let God fix it. Say simply, "This is what I need." Then wholeness of life comes. A peace comes that surpasses all understanding, is how Paul wrote that in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Come and tell God what you need in your prayers, and a peace will come upon you that surpasses all understanding, a wholeness, a completeness. So I'm really going to leave you with two questions today. The first one is, does your deepest need cry out? The deepest need that you have, does it cry out? Are you letting it cry out? And then the second question is, are you listening for God's call? Are you crying out, but are you also pausing so you can listen? So that you can respond. You see, my pattern that I take for worship, personal worship and corporate worship, is after the vision of Isaiah, found in Isaiah chapter 6, I believe it is, where Isaiah is caught up into the heavens and he realizes, "I'm not good enough to be here." And one of the angels comes and touches his lips with a coal from the altar and says, "You are clean. You are allowed to be here in God's presence." You see, that's happened for us through Jesus Christ. And then God speaks a word. And God says, "I need some help." Whoa, God needs help? God speaks a word and says, "I need somebody to go." That's not where worship ends. I hope you know the end of the story. Some of you that have been in choirs in the past know the end of the story, don't you? Because that's a popular song that's sung. "Here am I. Send me." You see, that's the end of worship. Are you responding to God? Are you crying out? But are you responding once you hear what God has to say? So I'm going to give you a moment. before I lead us in prayer, just right where you are, what you've heard God say today, respond to God, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, you've heard hearts cry out just now. You've heard them cry out for what they need. Lord, talk back to these folks. Somehow send a word, a message to them, however it might be, in a way that they best can hear, so that they can move from where they are to join you. Maybe leaving some things behind, but help them to respond to you, Lord. Because I know you're calling them. I know you're speaking to them. Because Scripture is a great witness to the fact that you are always speaking to us. So Lord, as you reach out to these folks today, may they not leave here without responding. Stepping closer to you and being willing to walk with you as Bartimaeus did on the way to Jerusalem. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.